I want us to open our Bibles this evening together. The Word of God in the book of the Revelation in the chapter number 1. First chapter of the book of the Revelation. And we're going to commence reading at the verse number 1. That's Revelation chapter 1, commencing to read at verse 1. Now, way back in olden times, they used to, in reverence to the Word of God, they would stand for the reading of God's Word. And so tonight, we're going to stand together for the reading of God's Word in reverence to God's truth. Let's just stand to our feet and just open your Bible. And Revelation, the revelation of St. John the Divine, commencing chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts tonight, and as we would meditate upon it, we pray that you'll give us, Lord, that heavenly vision and that heavenly eye salve, that we might see what thou dost say in thy word. Help us to be faithful to thine infallible book, and we thank thee that thy word is truth. We believe it tonight, and thy word is forever settled in heaven. Do us good as we meditate upon thy truth, and bless our souls together. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to keep your Bibles open this evening, because as we come to the end of an old year, and we think about certainly a year that has passed, 2006, and how quickly it has flown, it's hard to believe. It's a year since we met in God's house for the final service of the year that was 2005, and then we started into a new year, and now that year is past, and in a few moments that year will be completely gone. And that year, a new year in the will of God, 2007, will open before us. And whenever we were gathered together last Lord's Day evening, we were meditating and we were considering the first coming or the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, when Jesus Christ came into this world and he came to die upon the cross of Calvary, and to shed his precious blood for the redemption of our soul. But I want to think upon this evening something that we can look forward to, something the Word of God tells us to look forward to, and it is to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Word of God reminds us that not only has Jesus Christ appeared, but thank God shall he appear, the Bible says in Hebrews, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So therefore we come indeed to a tremendous thought and a tremendous truth. A few moments ago we were singing a lovely old hymn, When the Trumpet of the Lord Shall Sound. And I must confess that my memory of that hymn was when I was a child, and whenever we as a family were going across the field bringing in the hay, and we were traveling across the field after my dad, who was the final one of the family, got saved, I remember us all singing together the words of that hymn, When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And what a wonderful truth, what a wonderful joy to know in your heart that you will be there, that you will surely be there because of what Christ did for you upon the cross of Calvary. Now, when I look back to my salvation, and believe it or not, we're entering a new year, and in the midst of this new year, I will be celebrating my 50th birthday, my 50th spiritual birthday, because I'll be 50 years saved this year. On the 4th of June, I was saved 1957. And when I trusted Christ, and by faith I looked to Christ that night, I'll never forget it. I was only a little child, but by faith I looked to Christ and to what He did for me upon the cross of Calvary, and I trusted in Him and in His finished work upon the cross. But you know, tonight I'm going to deal upon a subject, not looking to Christ, but looking for Christ. And I'm looking for Him. For praise God, I know that Jesus Christ, my Savior, the one whom I have looked to in saving faith, thank God I'm looking for, because Jesus Christ is coming again. When I think of the first coming of Christ, I would simply say, there is my rest. Because that once for all, never to be repeated sacrifice for sin, thank God He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself, and He made peace, my peace with God. That's a wonderful thing. He made my peace with God. Remember, there was a man one day was dying, and a person came in to speak to him, and he said to him, you're dying. He says, listen, be sure, make your peace with God. And he said in answer, he says, make peace, make peace. Glory to God, nearly 2,000 years ago, that was already done at the cross of Calvary, because Jesus Christ made peace for us at the cross and through the shedding of His precious atoning blood. And so when I think about His first coming, and when I realize that Jesus died there, thank God I can rest my soul there, because there Jesus Christ made peace with God through the shedding of His blood. When I think about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there lies my joy. There lies my blessed hope, because when He shall appear, glory to God, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. When I look back to Calvary, I think of His first coming. I think of my gratitude. I owe it everything to Him. To think of it, friend. Listen, He made Himself of no reputation. He humbled Himself. He took upon Himself the form of a servant, and He dwelt among us. And praise God, there on Calvary's cross, He died in our guilty room instead. And He made Himself to be my near kinsman. Praise God, I look to Him, and I think upon that first coming, and it's with gratitude. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you did, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. But when I consider His second coming, then I look forward to it, and I realize that He's going to come in majesty. He's going to come in triumph. He's going to come in power. Therefore, tonight, as I think upon that, I bow before Him in reverence, in trembling awe. You remember when John, in this first chapter here, chapter 1, the book of Revelation, and it says, if you go down to verse number 17, and when I saw Him, when I saw Him, he said, I fell at His feet as dead. Oh, the reverence that we ought to give to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to go back to verse number 7, because there we want to look this evening. This great verse of spiritual truth and given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. Behold, it says, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. Think of those words. Behold, He cometh with clouds. The first thing I want us to notice here, here is an announcement that's worthy of our attention. An announcement that is worthy of our attention. Think of these words again. Behold, look, He cometh. What an announcement. What an announcement tonight that is worthy of the attention of every child of God and of every man and woman tonight. And John, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, says, behold, He cometh. Whenever we think about what John's writing here, praise God, he's not describing the parade of some pompous earthly ruler, but he's talking about the glorious appearance of our wonderful Lord and blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever Paul was writing to Titus, in the chapter 1, verse 13, it says this, when writing to, or chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how he put it. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. Yes, John said, listen, look, he cometh. The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And John in Revelation is talking about that. About the appearance, the coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You remember, whenever the scriptures, Luke was writing in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, it says this, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? And then it says, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. And he was lifted up there, and he was lifted up into the clouds. And Luke recording that the Spirit of God, he wrote with the Spirit of God given, he said, listen, the angel said, listen, what are you looking up there? Listen, this same Jesus, the very same Jesus, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. And thank God, the God-man who now rules all things from his lofty throne in heaven, praise God, he's coming to the world again. Yes, he did come. He did come. Every time we put the date on a check, every time we read on the paper, and you'll see the date of the recorded there in the corner of the newspaper, it records the coming, that first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But friend, the Holy Ghost goes further, because the Holy Ghost is recording the second coming. The second coming of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word is, listen, behold, look here, stop, pause, consider, look. It's an arresting word. It's the same as, behold, the Lamb of God. Look, there's the Lamb of God. Look, John says, look, look. Take your eyes off the things of time and sense and look, here's something wonderful. Here's something to take your attention. He cometh. That's what the finger of inspiration points to. That momentous event. And it says, look, he cometh. Now I know that those words, thinking of Jesus Christ coming again, those are terrifying words, as we'll see before the message finishes, for the ungodly. The man who's unsaved, the man who's unprepared. There come a day that whenever the Lord comes in all his glory, listen, the ungodly will call on the rocks and on the mountains and beg them to fall on them. What for, friend? To hide them from the face of him. Of him. When John saw him, he fell. Not in fear, my friend, but he fell in awesome wonder at the Son of Man whom he saw in his glory. And when I saw him, thank God, it says here, behold, he. That's him. That's Jesus. Behold, he cometh. But you know, whenever we think of as a child of God tonight, those words, they don't strike terror into the heart of God's children. Praise God, they do the very opposite. Because those words bring comfort. Those words bring joy and hope and peace to every child of God. Listen, child of God, your burden might be heavy tonight. And your temptations might be many tonight. And your heart might ache tonight because of the affliction, perhaps in your body or because of sorrow, that has come upon you even in a year that has passed. But thank God you have a reason to cheer tonight. You have something to look forward to. Look, behold, he cometh. And whenever I think about that, let me say this to you. All your troubles and all my troubles, thank God they're temporary. They're going to pass.
Oh, for the ungodly. Their sorrow was an eternal sorrow. For the unsaved, for the unregenerate, their night is an eternal night, because the night of a lost eternity, the Christless hell, will never ever come to an end. The darkness of their soul will never pass. The dawn of eternal day will never break upon them. They have every reason to fear. But praise God for the child of God. What does Paul say? He says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, to be quite honest, is it not true? So often we're taken up with our afflictions. Maybe you're suffering tonight. Maybe you're suffering. And why it's so easy to be consumed by your suffering and to be consumed by your affliction. Listen to these words. I reckon, says Paul. He did the sum. And as he calculated it all out, he says, listen, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, no matter how dark the night is, no matter what you're going through, no matter how lonely the situation that you're having to face, he said, listen, Romans 8:18, he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. Ah, there is nothing to the glory. To the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh friend, what a day when Jesus Christ shall come again. And when we think about it, and when we meditate upon it, and when we consider it, what does it say in 1 Thessalonians 4? It says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I know sometimes that there are those, and my, there are different interpretations of exactly how the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. Sometimes the debate gets very heated and it gets heavy, and my people get all worked up. Let me tell you, friend, the truth of the coming again of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is not something to get you heated up. It's something to get you excited about, for praise God, it's something to comfort you. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But notice what it says here. Behold, he cometh. Now who is this? Who is this he? Well, go back to verse number 5. Because in 5 we've got the description of the one who is coming. The Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, but the Word of God tells us just exactly who he is. And John, under inspiration, describes in verses 5 and 6, first of all, his description and then his demonstration. We haven't time to go into all of this evening, but if we just say this, and you notice it says in verse number 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Now, this is not written by chance, friends, let me tell you, because what we have here is a description of the Lord Jesus Christ in the three offices that Jesus Christ holds. He is the prophet, he is the priest, and he's the king. And there in the description of the one who's coming, you see the Lord Jesus Christ in his office as prophet, you see him in his office as priest, and also you see him in his kingly office. It says, first of all, he is the faithful witness. Now that refers to his prophetic office. He is that prophet of whom Moses spake. You just turn your Bibles back to the book of Deuteronomy. And in the Deuteronomy chapter 18. In Deuteronomy chapter 18. And you go to verse number 15. It says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. A prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken according to all that he desireth, or thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly. Verse 18, and I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. He is the prophet. He is the prophet of whom Moses spake. He is the faithful one of God. He's faithful to his people. He is the faithful prophet. He is the faithful one. Thank God he's not only faithful, he is the faithful of God, faithfulness of God to his people. But He is our faithful witness before God. He's our faithful witness before God. Because if any man sin, it says, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. And praise God, He is not only a witness, He is not only God manifest in the flesh, and we beheld Him and beheld His glory. He is God, a very God. But He is our faithful witness before our Heavenly Father. That's the first title. He is the faithful witness. Secondly, He's the first begotten of the dead. But that means He died. That speaks to us of the cross. That tells us, refers to us about the Redeemer's priestly office. He is the one who died for our sins. But not only did He die for our sins, but praise God, our great high priest, He died for our sins, but He rose again because of our justification. See, at the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ finished the work. It's not only He did part of the work, and then He leaves some of the work to you and me to do. No, praise God, the salvation of my soul was sealed at Calvary. It was sealed at Calvary. Jesus Christ came into this world and He shed His precious blood. And praise God, before He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, He finished the work. He finished the work. In Hebrews chapter 10, it tells me in verse number 12, but this man, after he had offered the sacrifice, or one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Why did he sit down, friend? Because he finished the work. He sat down because the work's done. I don't have to work to get to heaven, friend. I don't have to work. Some people try and say, you know, well, the Lord Jesus Christ did the work at Calvary, but now it's up to you and me to do the rest of the work, to sort of keep on going and make it to heaven. Let me tell you, that's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. My only way to heaven is Jesus Christ and the finished work. He finished the work on the cross of Calvary. He did everything that was needed to be done, friend. And thank God, I rest my soul simply, totally, completely, absolutely upon the finished work of His cross. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And then, thank God, it goes on in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ, by a new and a living way through, or which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Praise God. Jesus Christ is not only the faithful witness, He's the first begotten of the dead. And glory to God, He rose again because of our justification. Thank God He sealed my redemption. I believe it with all my heart. Jesus Christ sealed my redemption at the cross of Calvary. And thank God I have a way of free access to God through the blood of His cross. Now He's on something else. He says He's the prince of the kings of the kings of the earth. And that speaks to me of His kingly office. You see, He is King of kings. And He is Lord of lords. And one of these days, when Jesus Christ comes, thank God, all the earthly crowns will fall off the head of the earthly thrones. And praise God, we will cast our crowns at Jesus' feet. And before Him every knee shall bow. Every prince and every potentate, every king and every queen, friend, let me tell you, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It was Queen Victoria was asked the question, what would you like to happen? What would be the most wonderful thing to happen in her life? And she said, I would love that Jesus would come, that I could take the crown of my head, and lay it at Jesus' feet. Friend, what a wonderful thing. Have you crowned Him King of your life? And have you made Him Lord of your life? You see, not only do we see His description, behold, He cometh! He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. But notice what He has done for us. Verse 5. Unto Him that loved us, washed us from our sins in His own blood, And he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. He loved us. He loved us. That's an amazing thing. You know, to be loved by a father and mother is a wonderful thing. To be loved by a child is one of the most precious things. For a child to put his arm around your neck and say, Daddy, I love you. I love you. It's an amazing thing. But to think of it, listen, to be loved of God. To be loved of God. To be loved of by the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, unto him that loved us. He loved us. He loved us particularly. He loved us eternally. He loved us freely. He loved us preservingly. He loved us effectually. It's all in the book, friend. Concerning the love of God. The amazing love of God. To know that I'm loved tonight. So many lonely people in the world tonight. People feel that nobody knows what they're going through. I told you before about a young girl over the United States of America one day standing in the auditorium at school. And that young girl, she just was so helpless of herself and felt so hopeless, and she pulled out a little revolver. And she put it as she stood there in the assembly hall and the great congregation of the students in that assembly hall that was filled to capacity. And she put the revolver to her side and to her head, and she killed herself in front of them. The people gathered round in the assembly, and the young girl said as she was dying, nobody understands me anymore. Nobody understands me. She felt so lonely. Perhaps even felt unloved. Let me tell you, unto him who hath loved us. To be loved by God, friend. To be loved in Christ. Yes, even before the foundation of the world. To be loved. Loved with everlasting love, led by grace. But notice secondly, not only he loved us, but he washed us. He washed us. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. To be clean. You know, sin has stained every one of us. There's not one of us in this gathering tonight, but sin has stained. Sin has left its mark. You know, there's many a person, let me tell you, and my, they lived a sinful life, and their sins have been pardoned, but listen, there's been a mark left in their life which can never be erased. Maybe in their body. And they'll carry it with them to the grave. But isn't it good to know that their sins are gone? Sin's gone. Never to be remembered against you anymore. To be blotted out. To be removed, hallelujah, forever. That God will never, ever remember that sin again. Said that in Nicholson's time, there was a boy who was one of the prayer meetings with Nicholson, and he was praying, you know, and Nicholson could be sort of a wee bit sharp from himself at times. And he was praying this night, and he was in the midst of his prayer, he was saying, Lord, don't you remember, Lord, what an awful person I used to be, Lord? And Lord, you remember the sins that I used to do, Lord? I'm glad you're forgiven. And Nicholson could take him no more. He says, would you shut your mouth, you old fool? He says, God knows nothing of the sort. God remembers nothing of the sort. God blots out your sin. God puts them into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. Mighty old devil, let me tell you, isn't it not true? Is it not true, my friends? In every one of our lives, the devil, my, he torments us at times because of sins of the past. But thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from what? All sin. Not some, all. And your sins and iniquities, says God, will I remember no more forever. He puts them into the depths of the sea. The Bible says he puts them behind his back. And praise God, he remembers your sins against you no more. He has washed us. And the word washed there also means loosed us. He has loosed us. Loosed from the domination as well as cleansed us from the guilt of our sin. He has made atonement for our sin. We are justified from all sin. And thank God He has removed our sins from us. Never to remember them again. He has washed us from our sins. And then He has made us kings and priests unto God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, He has brought us into His family. He has robed us in the robes of righteousness, the royal apparel of the righteousness of Christ. Thank God we have received a kingdom of grace that will never be taken away from us. For the gifts of God, the Bible says, are without repentance. He doesn't give it this day and take it away tomorrow. That's why it says in God's word, the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and friend, let me tell you, that's a wonderful gift that only God can give. He has made us kings. We're in the royal family. We're children of God tonight. And then He has made us priests unto God. Thank God we don't need or desire an earthly priest anymore. Because we have access right into His courts. We can come right into His presence. We can enter His presence with singing and rejoice in all that He has given to us. Yes, an announcement worthy. Worthy of our attention. Behold, He cometh. But friends, there's an assurance worthy of acceptance. Listen to these words. Behold, He cometh. Notice what John didn't say. He didn't say, He will come someday. Notice that's what the Holy Ghost wrote down there. It didn't say, He will come soon. It didn't even say, He may come at any time. Notice how the Holy Ghost put it. Behold, He cometh. He cometh. In other words, what He was saying, He's on the way. He's on the way. That's what John saw. It was the language of the present tense. It seemed as if whenever John had this vision, he caught a glimpse of the coming Christ. It wasn't a distant hope. Thank God it was a living reality. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is coming. And the Word of God tells us over and over again about the coming again of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14? He said, let not your heart be troubled. He says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, He says, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. I'm coming again. Behold, He cometh. What are we to do, friend? How are we to live our lives? We're facing a new year. What are we to live? We're to live with anticipation and expectation of the coming of the Son of God. Do you imagine He's delaying His coming? You know, everything that He's doing in providence, everything that He's doing in grace, friend, He's doing in preparation for His glorious return. Let me say this to you. You know, God doesn't calculate as you and I calculate. Turn with me to 2 Peter just for a moment. 2 Peter chapter 2. Or chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And it says there in verse number 3, 2 Peter 3 verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now go on down to verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, do you notice how God calculates it? It says, with God, one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. So as far as the Lord's concerned, friend, listen. We say the Lord Jesus Christ is away 2,000 years. In other words, he's away 2 days. It's just like a 2-day journey. As far as the Lord's concerned. And people say, where is the promise of his coming? You say, what did he go away for? He went away on business for his beloved bride. He says, I go to prepare a place. And whenever the business is done, friend, let me tell you, praise God, he will return. That's why John said, listen, that's not a long time. John says, listen, he's coming. That's why he was in the present. Because one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. He dwells in the leisure of eternity and in the serenity of his sovereignty. And everything that God's doing tonight, listen, in this old world, everything that God is fulfilling in this old world as far as history and man and time is concerned, everything's moving toward one end. And the hour is nearer. Behold, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. What are we to do? We're to look for that coming. We are to be patient in trial. We are to be diligent in service. We are to be watchful. We are to be waiting. Praise God. Behold, he cometh. Very quickly, an appearance worthy of admiration. It says, behold, he cometh with clouds. My, what a grand entrance the Lord's going to make. Riding in the clouds of glory. Revelation chapter 14. In verse 14 it says this. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud, one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Thank God he's riding on the clouds. That denotes the grand and magnificent manner in which Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will come, because he makes the clouds his chariot. One day he was caught up in the clouds. But praise God, he's coming, riding upon the clouds. What John's speaking about is the visible, literal, bodily coming of the Son of Man. What a day that's going to be. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Lastly, here we see an acquaintance worthy of anguish. Every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, so let it be. Pilate, he washed his hands of the Savior and then delivered him to be crucified. He's going to see him. Judas Iscariot, he sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. He will see him. Herod that mocked the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to see him. Caiaphas the high priest, that sought to do despite against the Son of God, he's going to see him. The soldiers that took him and crucified him and put him on a cross and held him up on that Roman gibbet, it says every eye shall see him. But notice what it says there. Every eye shall see him. Oh, I know it's so easy to talk about Judas. It's so easy to talk about Pilate. It's so easy to point the finger at what Herod did. And even the soldiers that put on him the crown of thorns.
But it says, every eye shall see him, friend. That includes you. It says, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. You're going to see Jesus someday. But you've rejected him. You heard the gospel story, but you walked on past the cross. From your earliest days, some of you have heard how he died and shed his precious blood that man might be redeemed. But you trampled under your foot the precious blood that he shed. And as far as you are concerned, I will not have this man to rule over me. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Let me read you just a passage before we close. Revelation chapter 6. In the 6th chapter of Revelation, go to verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the 6th seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. There's a lot of wind outside. And then you see the big, even the strong trees, you just see them because of the power of the wind, how they can be taken out of their roots. What a day when God shakes his earth. What a day. Shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And the mountains, every island, were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him. That's the same one, friend. The face of him that sitteth on the throne from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Some years ago, whenever we started doing this work, I remember well the young people, we used to go down the Thursday of the Madney Festival in the town. I remember we used to put up a stall, and it was before the bookshop was in the town, we put up a stall, the young people put up a stall for the Madney Festival. Sold the Bibles and give out gospel tracts. I'd been away at a meeting the night before, that was on the Wednesday night, and the stalls went up in the early hours of the morning, late on the Wednesday night into the early hours of the Thursday morning, and our young people, they were putting up the stall while I was away at a meeting, and I came back, and when I came back, they had starting to put up the stall, and some of them were troubled, because a man came out of Mary's lounge, policeman, came out of Mary's lounge and staggered over across to where they were, and they asked them what they were doing. They said, we're putting up a stall. What's the stall? It's a Bible stall. Started to laugh. Started to mock them. And of course they had a desire to reach that man for Christ, and they started to talk to him about his need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that police officer stood in the midst of the diamond there as the stall was going up. And he lifted his fist to heaven. And he shouted in front of those young people. And he said, if there's a God up there, I defy you. I defy you! If you're up there, God! I defy you to strike me down. And I remember when I came back, the young people were troubled and they said to me, they were very troubled. They say, why didn't God take him on? Why didn't God strike him down? Let me tell you, friend, it wasn't that God couldn't strike him down, but God's long-suffering. He's a long-suffering God. You see, you say, well, God should have struck him down. Let me ask you, friend. Well, what then should God do with you? You that have heard the gospel Sunday after Sunday. You that this past year know the truth of God's word. I don't know whether that man knew much about God's word, but you do. Why didn't God take him on? Why doesn't God take you on, friend? Why does God allow you another year of opportunity when so many have never heard the gospel once? Why doesn't God send you to hell before you mock him another year by living in your sin, by rejecting his son, by trampling underfoot the precious blood that Jesus shed upon the cross of Calvary? Why doesn't God strike you down? Because he's long-suffering. Long-suffering God. But the day of his wrath will come. Your opportunity will pass. And no man shall be able to stand. What if God was to shake you tonight, friend? What if the wind of God's judgment was to shake you tonight? Do you think you'd stand? Listen to these words. Behold, he cometh, and the crowning day is coming. By and by, let's pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, reverently and humbly we bow in your presence, for thou art God. You hold our very breath in your hands. O God, our Father, our times, this moment is before thee. We thank thee and we praise thee, O God, that thou who art almighty, yet thou desirest the salvation of the sinner. O God, thou art holy, and yet, O God, thou desirest that men and women are saved. Please, Lord, save the lost tonight. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're coming again. Lord Jesus, we'll not only see you, we'll be like you. Lord Jesus, we'll be with thee. The crowning day is coming. But what of the lost? As your head's bowed and eyes are closed tonight, what about you, sinner? The Word of God says, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, Son of Man cometh.
You're so caught up with life.
So caught up with things of this world. And in a way we all are. But friend, tonight, please, I beg of you in God's name, put first things first.
Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Do you know the Savior? Honestly, before God, are you ready? You heard the wind outside tonight. Oh, the power of the gales that God sends when He blows His wind upon His nature. But what when God blows the winds of His wrath and judgment upon the sinner? Thank God there is a place of pardon. There is a place of salvation. It's in the cross work of Christ. It's in Jesus Christ alone. Will you come to Him? Will you end the year not only in His house, friend, but as His child? As many as receive Him, to them give He power to become the sons and daughters of God. Will you receive Him? We sing a little hymn, "Just as I am," as our heads are bowed. Well, Lamb of God, I come, and as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, and we sing this little verse. Please, I beg you in God's name, we're singing it for you. Why don't you come? Why don't you answer His call? O Lamb of God, I come. May God give you grace tonight. And if there's one man, woman, boy, or girl, you say, "Preacher, I'd love to be saved," or maybe you're backslidden, you want to come back to Him. Say, "By the grace of God, I'm coming tonight." Indicate that desire as we sing a little verse. Lift that hand above your head. Remember, it doesn't save you, it doesn't destroy you. Indicates the desire that we might know and we might point you to Christ. "Just as I am, the Lamb of God, I come."
Just as I am without one plea,
it's the one tonight in the closing second. Father, mother, son or daughter, just in the closing second before the Lord, friend, we're singing it for you. Don't let this moment pass, dear unsaved person. There'll never be a better time. Let go of sin and receive the Savior. I come. Just as I am, and waiting not the final verse.
Just as.
Is the one in the closing moment up there in the gallery downstairs? God has spoken to your heart, then, before the Lord. You know you're not ready. You're not ready for the call of death. You're not ready for the Savior's coming. To thee His blood can cleanse each spot. As a wonder, we close in the closing second. You just lift that hand right now, friend, before God. Don't be afraid or ashamed. Fear Him. Don't let Him pass. We're here to help you. I'll be in the minister's room, friend, when the meeting's over. And may God give you grace to just wait. And even as others are going for their tea, just you seek the Lord. For now is the accepted time, and behold, now is the day of salvation. Heavenly Father, Into thy hands we commit this final service and this year. Thank you for the joy and the peace in our hearts tonight as we think that our blessed Savior is coming again. And we're going out to meet Him. And yet our hearts are heavy because of those that are not saved. Father, they're not ready. And they're going out to judgment. And without Christ, they're going out to hell. Please, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. This night brings some soul to Jesus. For Jesus' sake. Amen.